You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1. Registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, or 2. Solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor. Integrated Partners and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580 on a Thursday, live at 9 after the hour. It's time for New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, starring today, Heidi Cartwright. Good morning, Heidi.
Well, thank you very much, Ron. It's awesome to be here today, and we have a good show for you ahead. But first, before we jump into our show, I want to introduce the rest of the Prout team with me today. Today we have Nathan Prout, who is on our leadership team and runs a lot of things in our office. Plus, he's also a wonderful financial advisor. So welcome, Nathan.
Thank you, Heidi. It's great to be here today.
All right. And then sitting in the comfy seats in the back, we have Beth Shire, who is our director of marketing. And Beth, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Heidi. It's great to be here. Good morning to everybody. Hope you're doing well on this beautiful July morning.
Today we do have a special guest, but before I introduce her, I did want to address the big, beautiful bill. I think everyone heard that that did pass in legislation last week, and it was signed by the president. And so we got a notice from Ed Slott, and I thought that I would mention a few of the things people might want to be aware of. But first of all, there is no Secure 3.0 in the legislation. And what they mean by that is any changes. There are no changes directly related to IRA or retirement plan rules. We had changes in 2020 and again in 2022. But in 2025 so far, we don't have those changes. So, but there are some things that we might want to mention, because it does have an some of the changes, the tax changes, will have an indirect impact on your retirement saving decisions. So we're going to be talking about this in the next couple of weeks, especially when John Sluice comes on board for a radio show. But I'm going to mention a few. First, the reduced federal income tax rates originally enacted in the 2017 Tax and Jobs Act are extended permanently. This will expand your opportunity to do those Roth IRA conversions at lower tax brackets. It's just going to give some permanence to that tax rate that you have right now, which is a relief that it won't expire, and we all have more taxes to pay. The second thing to be aware of, there is a new $6,000 addition to the standard deduction for seniors age 65 and older for years 2025 through 2028. So this will be available to taxpayers who itemize deductions. The additional phases, that addition will phase out beginning with adjusted gross incomes of $75,000 for individuals and $150,000 for married filing jointly.
That's only for people who itemize? I thought that was on top of the standard deduction.
No, this will also be available.
Okay, but you don't
automatically. It's available to everyone, okay. basically. So even if you itemize or you don't itemize, you both get that.
Okay.
So thank you for that clarification, because I don't think I was clear there. Yeah. So Roth conversions can push clients over these phase outs. So if you're doing Roth conversions, this is just another thing you're going to want to check on and talk to your financial advisor about the impact of doing those. Just another string that goes along that you have to think about before you make some of these retirement decisions. And a final point I wanted to make was taxpayers taking the standard deduction will now be able to make deductible charitable contributions up to $1,000 for individuals and $2,000 for married filing jointly. So higher earners will be restricted in taking these, but this is going to allow people to give to charity and be able to take that deduction where they couldn't before under the Tax and Jobs Act. So these are some positive changes, and it will all interact with some of that financial planning and decisions that you make. And we'll talk more about those in the next couple of weeks on the show to make sure that everybody understands all these different ramifications. But now we're going to turn our attention to our special guest. So one part of planning that we haven't talked about a lot on our show, and maybe it's something that people don't really like to discuss, but it is an important part of the planning process. And we actually have a space for it in our Prout Planner. Mm-hmm. On page 12, there is a section that talks about pre-planning for funerals. And today we have with us Nicole Westrick from Reynolds Jonkoff, and she is a certified pre-planning consultant. We're so excited to have her here to talk through some of these issues. Nicole grew up in Traverse City and graduated from Traverse City Senior High. She is a Spartan, but, you know, that can be controversial. That can be controversial, but I know in my own family we have mixed. We have U of M grads and Michigan State grads, so I think we can all learn from her. And she started with Reynolds Jonkoff in 1997, and she has been a certified pre-planning consultant since 1998. She's worked with over 7,000 families planning their funerals, and she continues to keep up with her continuing education as a pre-planning consultant. And we are just so honored to have her here with us today. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you, Heidi. It's a privilege to be here.
Right. So why don't we just jump into some of the things that we had on our list. And so what is pre-planning and what can you do to start this process?
Starting the process is convincing people to come talk to me and my colleague as well. Really, some people come in with a specific idea of what they want for funeral wishes, and a lot of people come in with no idea what's involved or what the options are. So we start pretty basic, and I have just a very short general presentation that I share that answers a lot of questions up front. But really, the goal is to get their wishes on file so that their family at a much more difficult time won't have to be making those decisions, won't have to face indecision or arguments among family members, knowing that we're simply following through with our loved one's wishes at the time of need.
So you can basically come in and discuss like what you would want at your funeral or what you want done, if you want to be buried or if you want to be cremated or
yes.
or the disposition.
Absolutely. And those are the two main dispositions that we often work with, but there's a lot of different options within that, and we're starting to see further options. It's exciting to see some shifts in a world or in an industry that doesn't change too much from decade to decade. But in the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of new options, and we're eager to start sharing those.
And I know when we talked yesterday before the show, you had shared that when you first started, like half of the requests for cremation, but that has increased. Is that correct?
It is indeed. I was surprised when I joined the funeral home 28 years ago to find what the cremation rate was so high at about 50% of the population that we serve at our funeral home. Mm-hmm. Not nationwide, just specifically in the region. And now in 2025, we're looking at over 75%. So a pretty dramatic shift in a relatively short period of time.
Yeah.
And we attribute that to many things. Every person is different, but sometimes it's related to cost. Sometimes it's related to somebody's environmental concerns or their wish to have their remains placed in a place other than a cemetery. Sometimes it's because they're not from Traverse City. We have so many folks who move here to retire, so they don't have that hometown cemetery plot that they want to be buried in or those longstanding roots here. So cremation can be driven by a lot of different factors.
Right.
Nicole, can you talk about when someone comes in and the decisions that they need to make? What do you go over with them? What are the services that you offer and different things like? How do you guide them through this process, I guess?
It sounds daunting when I say that there are 75 to 125 decisions that need to be made at the time of a death. However, we frame it in a very conversational format. I'm looking at a form to follow and guide me along, but by completing the information that is kind of an intake form, it gives us a really clear idea of what somebody's wishes will be or the decisions they have yet to make. But a lot of that information, those 75 to 125 items, are gathering their vital information, things we need for a death certificate, things we want to complete an obituary with, or completing authorization. So we're asking some really basic questions, like where were you born? What was your mother's maiden name? What's your social security number? We have to have that. We have to have a lot of that information for future documents.
In fact, we mentioned yesterday having that social security number because the funeral home is the entity that notifies Social Security that you've passed away.
Yes, it is a requirement of the funeral home to do that, and there's good sense in that because we know when somebody has passed, and so they will stop receiving Social Security benefits after that time. And yes, that is our responsibility.
So part of the pre-planning, as we have discussed, is how to pay for funerals, because that's an increasing cost over the years, and it can be a concern, and it's a responsibility of the family. So if people wanted to alleviate some of that future cost, there are different plans available. Maybe you could mention some of those and what they are.
Yes. So pre-planning is going through, gathering information, finding out what somebody's wishes are, and putting together a plan for them. And kind of the second or final phase is prepayment. And prepayment is not required. It's an option. But there are multiple benefits for prepayment. And one of those is locking in that cost. So we know that the cost increases typically every year. But being able to plan well in advance is a great advantage. But even if it's a couple years in advance, it helps out. And people don't have to pay for it all at once. When you pre-plan, you have the option to spread out with monthly payments if you want to.
Okay.
And that offers a lot more flexibility than after somebody passes. They don't get a payment plan. We don't offer a 10-year payment plan for somebody that has died.
Right. And then I think we also mentioned there's also the option of some kind of insurance, that life insurance, that would be specifically designated to pay the cost, maybe not locking in the prepayment price, but...
Yeah, so when somebody prepays for their funeral in Michigan and in most other states, the funeral home is not permitted to keep that money in our own bank account. We have not yet provided those services yet. So by law, we place those funds in escrow with a third party. And that third party is an insurance provider. So whether you pay in a single lump sum, we have to put the funds there, or whether you do a payment plan, we place the funds there as well. And if you do, say, a five-year plan, you're insured for the full amount of the funeral over the course of that 5 years. There is a premium attached to that. People often say it's interest, but you're actually receiving a benefit for making payments. You pay that extra charge, but you're covered for the full amount of the funeral from your first payment. Payment plans are extremely flexible, too. If you start with one, you can pay it up early. You can switch a payment plan. You can change your plans. And that's another thing that I reiterate often with folks is that you're planning today. Maybe it is 40 years before you need our services. You might change your mind entirely. So you can change your plans. We are not providing any funeral services until you die. So I have people who I meet with on a regular basis that are just constantly shifting things or updating or learning about new disposition options. So it's not set in stone.
So do you have
go ahead.
Packages like for the unimaginative who just say I don't really want any, I want a basic funeral, right. You know.
I want the streamline.
That's right. Yes, we're going to put together a specific plan for you, but yes, you can keep it very basic. And that's part of my role is to guide folks in, you know, these are options, but maybe you're not the, you know, everybody shares a story in public type of person at my funeral. And so we can make it absolutely appropriate for each person.
Do you have any examples of some of the more unusual plans that people have requested?
I tell this story all the time about a gentleman who I met early on in my career, and he was a retired librarian who was very specific about his wishes and a really fascinating man with a great sense of humor. And he would update his plans pretty much every 6 months. He would stop in with a manila envelope, give it to me and say, toss the contents of my file and replace it with this. Huh. And he realized several years in that I'm planning a pretty great event. I'm going to not even see it come to fruition. So he planned himself a living wake. It was essentially a dress rehearsal for the funeral that he had put together. He sent out invitations. People came and toasted and roasted him, and it was just a fun but fulfilling event, and it meant everything to him.
So he got to enjoy his own funeral.
He did.
Yeah, well, that's pretty unique.
Did he change any of his plans after that living wake?
Yes, in fact, he did.
He learned some lessons.
He couldn't stop changing. He was ever evolving.
So, Nicole, what if you do if you sit down with you guys and you come up with this pre-plan and then something unexpected happens in life and you end up moving across the country, but your plan's at Reynolds, what do you do in that case?
Yeah, that's a great question, Heidi. All the plans are 100% transferable, and we really don't know where we're going to end up. I certainly intend to stay in Traverse City, but I have no idea if that will happen. So everything that you plan is transferable to any other funeral home. It doesn't have to be a funeral home that's like ours. It can be, you know, part of a network. It can be across the country. It can be in Traverse City. You know, we certainly hope to provide those services, but you're not stuck with us because, again, if you prepay, those funds are held in escrow, and that plan is assigned to our funeral home but can be reassigned to any other funeral home.
Mm. Well, that's great. And then I guess this is just like a follow-up from that previous question, but I know that we have clients, and some of them do end up passing away. Maybe they're in Florida. Maybe they're in Arizona. And we talked, what can you do to get yourself or the family to get that person back if they want to keep their plan and be buried up here in Traverse City?
Yeah, that actually happens fairly often. Just with the high rate of families we have in our area who spend time away, especially in the winter, we do offer a plan called the Out of Area Protection that would bring you home from anywhere in the world if you died. And I mean it covers Antarctica. So if you're doing some big adventure travel, you want this plan. But it covers you also in Grand Rapids or anywhere that's 75 miles or more from home. If you die without that plan, we will still get you home.
What's that? Does that run about right now?
The out-of-area protection is a one-time lifetime membership, one-time fee of $499.
Which didn't seem too bad, especially if you're overseas or something.
If you needed to use it, it saves you a bundle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's limited to Earth, right? So if you go to Mars...
I mean, so far...
Hey, before we go to break, I have a question on the text line for Heidi and Nathan, because the listener says, unfortunately, I'm not in a place I can listen to today's show, but I hope it'll be available to listen to later. You carry these on your website, right?
That is correct. Right. We also have the replay on Saturday.
Okay.
You can go to the website, and under radio show, we have a list, correct?
Yes. Yes, we do. And they're typically about 2 weeks out.
Okay.
So.
So the question is, does the beneficiary, an adult child, receive the actual funds in retirement accounts left to them, or do the accounts assume this beneficiary as the new owner of the accounts and they're treated as the retirement plan?
Well, that's a very good question. If you are a beneficiary of a retirement account, the account gets re-registered as a beneficiary IRA. So it has separate rules from the rules just for a single owner of an IRA, the original owner, the person who put the contributions in. So it does change registration when you are a beneficiary. Now, there are some special rules for spouses and certain categories of beneficiaries, but
this is for like an adult child. So if somebody's, I don't know, say 18 or 19 and parent dies, they're the beneficiary. They get it's their IRA now.
Right.
They can use that as their retirement account, or do they have to spend it, or what are the rules once they get that?
The rules now are, if you're an adult child in that specific circumstance, then you would have 10 years to keep it in that tax-deferred state. You may or may not have to take required minimum distributions on an annual basis. It all depends on all the circumstances surrounding that. I think, Nathan, you would agree, there's a lot of different categories like spouses that are different.
That's correct. Yep, and it's a bit of a different game, too, if it's a Roth IRA, because that won't have RMDs for the beneficiary to satisfy. But that 10-year rule, again, assuming it's an adult child in that situation, or what's called a non-eligible designated beneficiary. And this is all part of, Heidi, what you were referencing at the start of the show, the SECURE Act laws that got passed recently in 2020 and 2022. So,
The 10-year rule is they have to spend it in 10 years, right?
Yeah, yes. So usually people will take like a tenth of that, or, you know, if you're just in a really high tax bracket right now, but you anticipate your income will be lower near the end of that 10 years, maybe you do want to defer it to try to defer some of those taxes as well.
All right, remember you can always call Prout Financial Design at 947-3992. And you get a complimentary conversation, right?
That is correct. We welcome everyone to come in and talk to us.
When we were talking yesterday, Nicole, you mentioned that a lot of people come to see you for Medicaid spend down purposes.
Hmm. Yes.
So,
what's that about?
Yeah. How does that have anything to do with funeral planning? So when a person is looking to apply for Medicaid, perhaps for payment for nursing home care or some extraordinary health expenses that are not covered under their health insurance, to become eligible for Medicaid, you have to show the state that you have very few cash assets. I think it's about $9,600, the maximum amount of cash assets you can have. Mm. So before a person reaches that level, if they have more than that and are in the process of applying for Medicaid, they need to do a spend down. And they can spend that money on only certain things, you know, within a time frame of applying for Medicaid. One of the exempt assets would be a funeral plan. So I get a lot of people who are, you know, grandma's in a nursing home, we're applying for Medicaid, she's going to run out of money in 2 months, and we need to pay for her funeral before the money is gone, and so it'll still be there at the time of her death. So we can put those funds in the same type of account that I mentioned earlier into an escrow with a third party, and we make that account irrevocable. And that means that money can never be refunded to a family or a beneficiary. All those funds must be used toward funeral expenses, but it can be, without getting into a lot of technical details, essentially any amount that the funeral is, and it's made irrevocable. It protects those funds for that person who is now going to be receiving Medicaid, and the family doesn't have to worry about how do we pay for that funeral now that the money's gone.
And especially because the Social Security death benefit might not cover all of the funeral expenses. Is that correct?
It might not cover quite all of it. That Social Security survivor spouse benefit has been stuck at $255 for, I think, over 60 years, initially intended to pay for a funeral. Now $255 doesn't quite cut it. Not even the obituary. And it's only paid to a surviving spouse. So once there is no longer a surviving spouse, Social Security does not pay it.
And Nicole, did you mention something yesterday as well about using the pre-paid funeral for expenses for maybe somebody who's trying to qualify for a program, special needs disability program? Was that correct?
Yes, other state aid, funded programs also will look at that spend down. And I meet with people who maybe 30 years ago have started a prepaid plan who receive state aid for whatever reason, and they cannot let their assets go above that marker. So I'll get a call from the person responsible for their finances and say, we need to do another payment towards so-and-so's funeral. So we've just made small payments over the course of years to keep them eligible.
So there are different strategies that can help you in all these different situations to be able to make this pre-planning and do it the most effective and tax-effective way possible.
Certainly.
Yeah. So another area that I thought was very interesting, and we talked about, I heard you talking about the number of cemeteries that is in Grand Traverse County, and I was surprised at how many there are. I mean, I'm sure all of us have driven down the country roads and you see the cute little cemeteries on the side of the road, but how many of those are there?
So in our region, which does encompass a few counties, so about 30 miles from, the funeral home, we service 77 cemeteries. And most of those actually have available spaces yet in them. A couple of them are filled up. But one of those 77 includes a green burial. What? I don't mean to get ahead of you, Heidi.
No, tell us a little bit more about the green burial and where is this?
Yeah, so a green cemetery is a certified cemetery that has to follow a number of different regulations to have this certification. And Peninsula Township Cemetery includes a green section. The front of the cemetery is a traditional cemetery, which is manicured and headstones and, a few trees, but very traditional. The back of the cemetery is very natural and it's beautiful and there's trails and it's actually a green cemetery where a person is buried under very strict regulations. There is no burial vault used. The casket or container they're in has to be 100% biodegradable, no metal hardware on it. The clothing that person is wearing is biodegradable. Traditional embalming is not used. And the process by which a person is buried is very personal and handled by family members. Mm. We at the funeral home will have two staff members present for the burial, but we need six people to actually assist with the burial to lower the loved one into the prepared grave because we're not using a vault and therefore we're not using a lowering device, which is a mechanical piece of equipment that lowers a heavy casket and vault into the ground. So we have a deep dug grave still, but we need hands to help us lower. Okay. And And it's very personal, and it's been very special for those families that have had opportunity to do that.
Is that growing in popularity at all?
It is. We're seeing more of the green burials, but we're seeing especially an uptick in interest. You know, people hearing about it, people asking, when will there be more green cemeteries? We're very fortunate to have the one here because there are, I believe, 17 in the state of Michigan. And I'm pretty certain that there will be more in the relative near future because of the increased interest.
So do these plots have headstones, they're unmarked, or can you have something there?
Yeah, so up until last year, so 2024, Peninsula Township, who operates that cemetery, they started permitting a small flat stone on each grave. Prior to that, you could not have a marked grave, which was deterring some people from wanting to be buried there. Mm-hmm. So they do now permit a small, usually it's a granite flat stone that would be a permanent marker.
So if you, a family member passed away and they hadn't made any arrangements, does Reynolds Jonkoff help you, like, find a plot either in the Green Cemetery or maybe one of those along the road? How do you go about getting those things in line?
Yeah, we're very familiar with all the local cemeteries, and we can give you guidance as to how to secure a plot if you have a certain location you're looking at. Some of the township cemeteries, you do have to be a resident of that township to buy a plot there, but some you do not. We have two public cemeteries in Traverse City. We have Oakwood on 8th Street and Memorial Gardens on Veterans Drive available to anybody. You would purchase your plot directly through the cemetery, and we would be able to direct you how to do that. You know, go to the township office or go to the cemetery or contact this person. And then we would assist with all the arrangements at the time of the burial.
Very good. Well, that's very helpful information because my dad passed away in 2018, so about 7-8 years ago. And one thing we had, Reynolds, he did the prepaid funeral, mm-hmm. and it was just so helpful to have that structure in place because you're just dealing with so mm-hmm. many different things. And I know, Beth, you had to go through that as well.
Yes, I did. So, my mother passed away a couple years ago, and my father, too, in 2013, and they both went through Reynolds Jonkoff, and our family was just felt so supported with you guys, and you took care of everything. And with my mom, I actually walked through her pre-planning with her, which was a little awkward. It was awkward and a little scary, but in the end it was wonderful because we knew her wishes and they were all set in place. When my father, when he had his visitation, at your facility, we were in the mahogany room, I think. That's the one, right? And it was just our family there. And it was just such a beautiful time. And the room was filled with peace and love. It was amazing. And I'll never forget that experience. So that was my experience with Reynolds Jonkoff.
Yeah, wow.
It was good.
Thank you for sharing that, Beth. Yeah. That means everything to us at the funeral home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, we have a couple of financial question for Heidi and Nathan.
Yes.
Let's see where it went. If you do an assignment of personal property, whether it's titled like cars or untitled like household items, and you put that into your trust, does the beneficiary simply inherit that stuff, or is it assigned a monetary value where it's taxed, Nathan?
Well,
that's a full question.
Depending on several factors, so assuming it's not a rather large estate, like over millions and millions of dollars. Assuming it's just a normal non-qualified asset that then goes into the trust, then yes, it would be up to the trustee to determine how that gets dispersed. And normally you would experience what's called a step up in basis from the date of death. So with a car, which is a depreciating asset, that wouldn't really be of concern. But like a non-qualified account, you'd get that step up in basis, and then the only thing that would be taxable at that point is any increase in value from the date of death until the money is passed to that beneficiary. So,
I have a question about the burial assistance, Social Security, that you mentioned. Yep. Someone said they asked Social Security, they said they had discontinued that service. Do you have to apply to get the burial assistance, or is that just available for anybody who requests it?
Well, as far as we know,
it's automatic.
Yes, well, the family does have to go, maybe they can do it online now, but it has to go to the Social Security office to apply for that benefit.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but as far as I know, it still exists.
Yeah. If we have our burial plot elsewhere in the state of Michigan and we utilize your services, can you get us from here to there?
We certainly can. Yes, we do a lot of transportation. We have people on the road almost every day of the week.
Okay. So you can go there to here and here to there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Not a problem. Wherever you are, we'll get you there where you want to be.
That's right. So I wanted to ask Nicole about, I drive by on 6th Street sometimes on my way to work, and they have this big tent in the yard that is there, has been there most of the summer. And I wondered how that came to be that you guys started putting the tent there, because I don't know if I remember that always being there. So,
yes, the tent has not always been there. We put the tent up in the summer of 2020 when we had very few options for gathering. People were going through enough with the death of loved ones under really extraordinarily sad circumstances. And so the tent was a way for us to offer gatherings still in an outdoor space and follow all the regulations. So we had the tent up until the end of October, and by the end of it, we had sort of a mud bog under the tent because it was it didn't see the sun all summer. So the next year, we added a permanent floor, which is a concrete floor with carpet over it, and put the tent up. And then the next year, we added a sidewalk. And then the next year we bought the tent, and now we're in the 6th rendition of the tent, and it's beautiful, and we have it up for 6 months, and it offers a really nice option for outdoor gatherings, whether it be visitation, funerals, luncheons, pre-planning events. We use it all the time.
Nice. Yeah, very nice, because you guys have such a beautiful garden there, and the house is so beautifully landscaped, which sort of brings me, tell us a little bit about working in such a historical landmark in Traverse City and how that is, and a little bit about the house.
It's so beautiful. I could talk for hours about the house itself. Everybody's welcome to come see it. Now, if we're having a funeral, we can't give you a tour, but we, you know, we will do it, you know, in the right time. The house was a private residence built by Perry Hanna. It became a funeral home in 1937 and has been a funeral home consistently since then. The home, through all its different owners, has maintained its original structure, original wood finishing, just the original flavor and even decor. The Yonkoffs moved to Traverse City in 1976, bought the funeral home from the Hansen family, and Jack and Maxine Yonkoff bought it, lived there, sold it to their son and daughter-in-law, Dan and Peg, in the early 90s, who sold it to their daughters, Christy and Lindsay, in 2022. So Christy and Lindsay are now the owners, and they are the 6th generation Yonkoff family funeral directors, who I'm so proud to call my bosses, and I work in the prettiest building in the world.
That's amazing. And I know how Beth mentioned that the service in the mahogany room. So I went on a tour when you did the Toys and Tots drive at Christmas time and got to see the house decorated for Christmas. But every room is different wood. Is that correct?
It is. It showcases the hardwoods of Northern Michigan, with the exception of one room, which is mahogany that Beth had mentioned. But it's beautiful, and we're so happy to share it with the community. It really is a treasure for the community.
We have to wrap up. Great information. Nicole, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron. It was great to be here.
Reynolds Yonkoff Funeral Home, 6th Street in Traverse City, for any more information.
And do your plans now. Yeah. None of us know when that day will come. It's always easier before you need it.
And Prout Financial Design, Heidi Cartwright, Nathan Prout, and Beth Shire. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.